Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Ryan is mouthing my words and making fun of me. So everybody, send him some love in the comments of wherever you're watching this or listening to this. Send him some love. What are you doing?
With love.
Oh, right. See, we never have it fully figured out. Ryan just grabbed the camera.
Looks better now, though.
Yeah, it does. That was really good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of vacation brain still. We just got back from the beach, so work today was a little bit of a drag. But we're here.
Well, I had work today too, like actual big girl work.
What'd you do?
I edited my life away.
Yeah, you did.
I just edit and edit and edit until I can't edit anymore. And then I send some emails and then I go back to editing more. And then I send more emails to people and companies and things and just do stuff. That's my life. That's life. That's... okay, anyways. What do you do for work? Have we even talked about this?
Yeah, we have.
Oh.
I sell software. I work for a technology company. I work from home, which is very nice.
I have to turn the computer away from Ryan because he always stares at it, like literally all the time.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I feel like a lot of the times whenever I come on this podcast.
Whenever you come on this podcast, it sounds like you're a guest.
Whenever we do this podcast, I always start it with like roasting you.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sorry for that.
Usually always the target. It's whatever.
Well, it's time for a compliment
Life's
shower.
Rough around here.
Here's a compliment shower for you. Yes. My compliment shower is you are beautiful.
Yeah.
And you have really good hair. Your hair is looking really good these days.
Appreciate that. It's growing. My hair is getting longer.
And your beard is growing really fast. A very alarmingly fast rate.
Alarmingly fast.
Are you hitting puberty again?
I think so. I'm hitting puberty. It is actually not good. I hate it.
He's hitting puberty in the digestive area too.
I used to be able to go to the beach. This sounds so first world problems, but I used to be able to go on vacation or go somewhere without taking a razor. Now I have to take a razor with me and shave like midweek.
Imagine. Actually, here's the thing about me is that I should take a razor. I need to take a razor.
Yeah.
And I just don't. And I'm just hairy.
Oh, yeah.
Like my armpits get really hairy.
Abby's armpits. The hair were, they were getting
It some, wasn't horrible. Were, it was like a were, centimeter.
They were getting some inches on them.
It was not an inch. It was like a centimeter. It was like that big. That's like a centimeter, right?
There's probably some animals in that jungle.
Wow. He's really, you can't laugh like that because you're bursting the eardrums of the people.
It was so funny though.
That was funny. It was really funny.
Another thing that happened today, I started day one of ultra marathon training.
Mm-hmm. Who's your coach?
Abby Murphy is my coach. The one and only.
Walk us through what this week looks like for you.
I haven't really...
I was just going to say, first, tell us where you're at, like, fitness-wise, and then, like, base fitness-wise, and then tell us your training.
Yeah, so...
For this first week.
Going into... probably after Costa Rica, I was in, like, really, really good shape. I was running a ton. I was getting up to like 5 to 6 miles, which is a lot for me, like on my long run days, and was feeling really good. And then once we got back from Costa Rica, I was dealing with some health issues and kind of, I didn't like let go of everything because I was still running quite a bit and working out, but just wasn't, you know, as on it. And then once I went on that bachelor trip and ate a bunch of just horrible food, I didn't come back as strong. So, I just fell off a little bit of my, like, training and got a little, I wouldn't say lazy. I just was, like, it was just time where I was super busy. I was going places, like, every weekend.
I think mentally and emotionally, too, you had to allow yourself that time to just, like, yeah, you had to allow yourself that time to rest because you were going through, like, a lot of, like, worries and fears as well of, like, what's happening to my body right now?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I was trying to keep it a little lighter on my body.
Which, if you've been listening to the previous episodes, Ryan kind of touched on, like, some health problems that he's having. And there's still question marks there, but you're navigating it really well, at least it seems to me. Or it's, like, lightened up.
Yeah, it's lightened up. It's getting a little bit better. Not, like, entirely better, but it's getting better. But, so, I kind of went into this week, like, just kind of ready to get back into the swing of things. Like, I hadn't tracked... I track my food usually all the time, but I hadn't tracked it. I'd say I haven't tracked my food since Costa Rica. Like,
I didn't know you were before.
Yeah.
Oh.
I usually always track it.
For protein purposes?
Yeah, just to make sure I'm getting the amount of protein that I want.
Yeah.
And then...
Big body Ryan over here.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so I ran... Abby put together... Did you put a week-long schedule?
Yeah, I usually do it weekly because I don't like to do like a whole month block or like train, like ride out the whole block. I like to do it week to week because some weeks are busier than others and I never like the training to be like the priority or the focus of the day. I like to fit the training around the day.
Mm.
So like knowing that, well, now you don't have a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, but knowing that you did have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, it was like, okay, you have this doctor's appointment. So what can we do before? What can we do after? Or like, oh, you have a super busy day Wednesday. So let's make that a lighter workout day. But then you don't have anything Thursday. So let's make that a heavier workout day rather than just like do this, do this, do this, do this, do this.
Yeah.
And then you could reassess at the end of the week of like, okay, I'm feeling exhausted. I need a couple of days to like rest up. Okay, so then the next week we'll go in a little easier. On this Sunday rest day, I'm feeling super recovered really fast. Okay, well then let's hit it hard on Monday.
Mm,
just
like
so
that.
You can like, well, yeah, I think there's a balance between like pushing yourself in training and then letting training consume your entire life and that be the focus of your entire life. And that's something
it's going to be me for the next 10 weeks.
What?
It's going to be my entire life.
Yeah, okay. No, don't let it because I'll touch on that, but I kind of hit a little bit of a whoa moment this week of like,
Abby. Whoa is me.
Abby, you need to chill. But anyways, with the purpose of training, that's why I do it week to week. Just for those that wanted to know. So that you still have structure of like, okay, I have something written out. I can't make up excuses for myself. But it's not so daunting to where you have to commit of like, oh my gosh, I have this huge thing. It's just take it week by week. Little chunks.
Yeah. And so my week this week, I don't know exactly. I know that my longest run, well, I ran 6 miles today at a easier pace. And one thing that Abby was trying to tell me whenever she was writing, she wrote it literally we're filming this on a Monday. So
yeah,
she wrote it through after we finished an awesome movie, which I wanted to touch on later on.
I'll make a mental note.
Yeah. And she was writing it out and told me, because I don't, whenever I go on runs, I am pretty much... just trying to go as fast as I can. I don't really think about pacing myself or anything because like realistically, it's not like I was like doing a ton of work anyways. So it's not like I really like needed to like pace myself out type thing.
Which, a ton of work?
Like I wasn't like logging a ton of miles. Oh, so it's like damaging me or anything. So Abby was like,
it was more so just cardio for the purpose of cardio.
Exactly. Yeah. Being like staying and having good cardiovascular shape. But, Abby, it's choked. Oh. All right, we're back. That wasn't dramatic or anything. Well, I thought I was going to cough, but I didn't end up coughing.
Was that on purpose?
Yeah. I thought a cough was coming, but then I just, like, almost dry heaved.
So you didn't have to do that on purpose?
It was a little dramatic.
I'm saying, did you to be funny, or was that a natural response?
It was a natural response.
Your body naturally made that noise?
I think it was a little bit of me being dramatic.
All right. Okay.
But anyways, I ran 6 miles today, which is pretty much my longest run I've ever done. And I ran it at a pace that was a little bit slower.
Can I correct you on that? 6 miles is your longest run you've ever done consecutively at one time.
Yeah.
Because Ryan ran the ultra in a team last year and hit almost 50 miles, but at one time, 6 miles.
Yeah. At one time, a little over, I don't know. It was probably somewhere between 6 and 6.5, the most I've ever ran consecutively. So it was nice. I got out there this morning and did it and it felt really, really good. I felt really good about it. And, just going to keep getting after it. I think we're roughly 10 weeks out. So, and I'm running the team again. It's a 24-hour ultramarathon, team-based, which basically means somebody is always running, which we've kind of talked about a little something in my throat. We've talked about certain ways. No, I'm good. Okay. Certain ways we're going to do it. But I think I'll be running for a total of like 6 hours, give or take, within the 24 hours. So
it's a team of four.
Yeah, team of four. We're going to be, what we're thinking about doing, we did it a little bit differently last year. And I can't really, I can't even really remember exactly how we did it. But this year we're planning on running every hour. So, or just running for an hour, and then you get a 3 hour break because there's four people.
So there's always one person on the team running. So yeah, the team as like a whole doesn't stop, but each person gets 3 hour breaks in between.
Yeah. And it went really well last year. I really struggled recovery wise the next, I'd say probably you finish at 8 a.m. the next day. So it's kind of weird. So like I really struggled that day and the next day in particular, recovery wise, like I was hurting bad, which I'm sure I will be again this year, but maybe not as bad.
Yeah. But last year, Ryan didn't train for it. He just like went.
Didn't train for it. And I was wearing probably
not good shoes.
Year and a half old shoes.
Yeah. Just was not prepared.
Yeah. Looking back on that, I honestly was surprised I didn't get hurt or something.
Yeah. But I mean, also I was there to like run back and forth and get you things and like bring you change of clothes. So you didn't really have to like bring a lot of things and you could leave and whatever. Mm-hmm. But this year you'll probably have to be a little more prepared. My parents will probably be there since I'm also doing it.
Yeah.
Which I say that roughly because I still have to confirm everything on like my end and make sure that I'm like able to do it. Cause I want to do the same ultra marathon, but there's a 24 hour solo option.
Ooh, and I y'all hear that?
Really want to do it.
It's going to be so cool to run with you.
But I still just want to make sure that like I'm able to, and as y'all know, like I'm in therapy and seeing a dietitian just to like get my health back on track and everything. But yeah, mentally, like his day one is also my day one. And then if there comes a point where it's like, yeah, Abby, you're just not ready to do this yet, then I'm not going to do it. But where I'm at right now, I feel ready to do it. My big thing is just going to stay on top of fueling, because his training block is more so get used to running lots of miles and like speed work focus, like running as fast as you can for hour increments. Mm-hmm. Focus. Mine's just going to be like getting as many miles in on tired legs as possible, which just means endurance and time. And so with that comes having to fuel more than I'm used to, and that's something that I just like either forget, or I have really sensitive stomach issues, and it's just, yeah, it's a whole thing. So gotta just make sure and you know, do it safely.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Ryan and I talked about it, and we both are like accountability, let's do it together, let's experience this together kind of thing. But the logistics of the race, for those that want to know,
yeah,
is you can do, so it's the BG Hot Rods Ultra Marathon 24 hour with Curbside Ministries. So it's at the Hot Rod Stadium, which the Hot Rods are the local baseball team here. And
they're a minor league affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays.
And the baseball field has like a little loop track that you can run around, and it's 0.33 miles. So you just run that over and over and over and over and over again for 24 hours. And it seems like you would go insane, but once you're in there, it's like a whole new world. Like when I went, what are you doing?
I just got a headache.
Oh, do you want Advil?
I just took some.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
So when you're in there, it feels like a whole new world. Wouldn't you agree? Like,
yeah. And I think some people probably don't like running in loops like that, but I actually enjoyed it just because, so basically how you do it is like you have tents all around the stadium. Well, not all around, but around like the, from like first base to third base, like all around that area, you have tents where, you know, people are camped out and
so
there for
cool.
24 hours. And you're always seeing, like you see your team every 0.33 miles, which I kind of like, you know, it's like, gives you kind of something to do. You can like even be in conversation with people while you're running around, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of encouragement from people.
Cause I was there last year while Ryan was running, and I was pretty much there for the full 24 hours. And
yeah. And
it was so fun.
I liked it. I don't know. I kind of get I get like adrenaline and I guess motivation off of that. But
oh yeah, 100%. I mean, that's why you do the races. Like the training block is you know, fun for some people, but like the reason people do these is for that adrenaline and that like race high and that community feel of like we're all struggling, but we're struggling together.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there what's more bonding than seeing a big group of people who signed up to do something incredibly challenging and you're all bonding over that pain together.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and it's pitch black outside and y'all are just running, like what? That is so cool to me.
Another funny story from last year, speaking of that, is I ran out of clothes after I finished my last run at the ultra last year. And I had to put on my race shirt afterwards and I was freezing. Yeah. And I borrowed somebody's blanket and there's a picture of me with a blanket wrapped around me because I was so cold. Because you have all this sweat on you, but it's so early in the morning. It's in September, so like it gets cool, like in the 50s. And I was so cold. And
I remember that.
And there's a picture of me with a blanket wrapped around me just walking around the thing.
I went and got them like donuts over. And yeah, I brought the blankets. But now I feel like we're going to be a little more prepared. And I don't know. I think it'll be fun. I think it's going to be so fun. If you guys are in the area, or even if you're not in the area and you're looking for like a good race to do, that again, like, it's not, it doesn't seem as like drive you insane as you think it would be. Like,
no.
Like, I don't know. It's just, it's a super electric feeling. But there's a 24-hour solo option, 24-hour group option, and then a 12-hour solo option. Male and female, the group is of 4 people. I don't know if they have like different numbers of groups or not. I think it's just four.
4. Yeah, that's the relay version.
Yeah. If look up Bowling Green Hot Rods 24-hour ultra. If you're in the area or if you're not in the area, you should do it. It'll be so awesome and fun. There are like tons of cool sponsors. It's gonna be a great time. So
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Anyways,
temperature notification.
A temperature notification on our camera already.
Yeah.
I give up with filming.
Let's
talk about that. That's just so exhausting. Like, I paid good money for this camera.
It's not a podcast camera, though.
I know. Well, what are we going to do about that, then?
I don't know.
You're the one that has a 9-to-5.
I ain't got no money to be paying for no podcast camera.
But you can for crumble cookies every week?
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Okay, if you think about
it, price tag.
That's $100 on cookies every month. Isn't that insane?
It's worth it.
Well, not this week.
Yeah, I think about... Yeah, it wasn't worth it this week. Crumble cookies this week were a failure.
Except for the cake batter. The cake batter was really good.
Yeah, it was all right.
Talk about the movie.
Yeah. Oh, and I was going to mention this last night. So we watched... I watched Reacher on Amazon Prime, the TV show, which I really, really liked. And then Abby's dad told me while we were on our way back from vacation that there's 2 Jack Reacher movies. They're rated PG-13, and what's his name? Oh, Tom Cruise is the lead in it. And we watched the first one last night, and it was really, really good. And I was going to tell you what I liked about it so much is there wasn't really, like, a ton of, like, vulgar, like...
Yeah.
Like, not a ton of cussing and
there
all
wasn't
of that.
Even... Like a romance plot, really.
Which I thought there was going to be with that blonde.
Mm-hmm. But there wasn't.
Because I called that at the beginning, and there wasn't at all.
There are lots of times in movies, and this isn't just, like, the stereotypical classic, like, Christian girl in me that's like, ew, like, I don't want to see any of that. Like, I don't. I'm the type of person who skips through the kissing scenes in movies. That's just how I am. I don't like the noises. I think it's gross. But
can I just call that out real quick? I've watched plenty of stuff with her, and she doesn't skip through.
Yeah, well, not okay. I say that as well. Actually, I have, but I will close my eyes or get on my phone.
Okay,
can you confirm?
I'll go 50-50.
Rhino, are you joking?
I'm 50-50 on that.
When have I not?
A lot of times I see Abby when that stuff comes up, she's like edge of her seat, like
name one time.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, anyways. But there are a lot of times where I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, the audience gets what's happening now, so why do we need to explain this further?
They overdo it.
Yeah, and it's just, like, why? Like, we get it. it doesn't really add anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's really for the appeal of Hollywood, like, sex appeal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, are we, like, what is the purpose?
Yeah.
Other than to get people feeling things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. And I thought, that's why I liked, I was going to mention that last night and forgot. I liked that part of the movie.
Yeah.
How it didn't have a ton of that. It was a great movie, though. I really enjoyed it.
That's the thing. Like, I love a good reality dating show. I'll say it. Love a good reality dating show. But there are just some that overdo all of this, like, extra, like, stuff that you just don't need.
Yeah.
Like, me as an audience member and someone who watches reality TV, like, dating shows, I just want to see connection. Like, I want to see human connection. People getting to know people. Different personalities. How they complement each other. How they don't complement each other. Like, people talking through conflict and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, yes, there's an element of, like, drama or amping it up or making it more entertaining for the public eye, which is great, fine, whatever. But, like, all of this girls showing up in nothing and, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to, like, hate on that. Like, all bodies are beautiful, women empowerment. However, also, like, it does just seem like it is for, I don't want to say this and be like, I don't want my words to come out wrong. Like, I just feel like it's not God honoring in that way of how we present, like, love in the media today, and how you have to play all these, like, sex games and, oh, what's your favorite, like, sex position, and what's your favorite, like, it's just like, what are we doing?
Well,
like,
I would just say that, wouldn't you expect that from people that don't know Jesus?
I mean, I don't know, like,
I mean, exactly. She's getting attacked over
well,
here.
Well, the thing is, like, there are people who still have good morals, even if they don't know Jesus. But I just think that, like, Hollywood paints a picture. It's not necessarily, like, the people that I'm like, why are you doing this? It's how Hollywood has just painted, like, relationships today, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, little girls growing up and having those, like, having the options that we have of, like, TV to watch and media today and seeing, like, oh, this girl is doing this, this, and this, and then she gets the guy. Or this girl is letting this slide and letting this slide, and that's how that works. Like, it's just the things that we're watching are
I would being highly implemented. Recommend them, little girls, not to be watching those reality TV shows.
But I mean, like, when I was 13, I started watching The Bachelor.
Interesting.
With my family.
I thought you weren't, wait. I thought you weren't allowed to watch certain shows.
Yeah, like SpongeBob. I don't really know when I started watching The Bachelor. But I don't know. I mean, like, I had a phone and I could just, like, go on Netflix when I wanted.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know?
Yeah, no, true.
And I never got into anything bad, but
I guess whenever you said you weren't allowed to watch SpongeBob, that was like whenever you were like 7.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is it's inevitable. I mean, even social media.
Yeah.
I mean, even clothing websites.
Speaking of.
No. But anyways, long story short, I just think the media today, and we say that as people that post content every single day, but it's just so important what children are viewing and seeing because it is embedded in their brain.
Yeah.
And that's where I'll leave that. But I don't really know why I went off on that tangent, but I think it's just because I am excited about The Bachelor. Coming, The Bachelorette.
Me too.
But part of it is because of just, like, it's a community thing. Like, we have our friends that we're watching it with, and so it's like an event. Like, we...
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Get together and do it. But the actual show itself, I'm like, you know?
I love the show. I think it's a great show.
That is very on brand for you.
Why is that on brand?
Because I just feel like that's a you thing.
You watch it too. You've watched more seasons of The Bachelor than I have.
Yeah, that's true. But Would you consider yourself a romantic? Would you consider yourself a hopeless romantic? Because my dad is.
I would say I'm pretty romantic.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you romantic?
What do you mean how?
Like, what do you do?
I don't know. I feel like I try to be intentional about, like, going on dates. I try to be intentional about, like, you know, opening the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if that's romantic.
But no, that's very romantic. I think I haven't touched a door and I don't know how. I haven't touched my car door if I'm with you in literally, like, months.
Yeah.
Like, since we started dating. Which is just, like, a kind gesture. But I'm definitely, my love language is definitely quality time. Like, I just need to spend time with you.
Yeah. She doesn't even really, like, want to talk to me or touch me. Dude. She just wants to be sitting next to me.
No, that's false. Well, Ryan always gets upset because he's like, I feel like you don't want to.
Let's not go there.
Why?
Let's not go there.
Why?
I don't want to go there.
Because Ryan's love language is physical touch, everybody. And mine is.
I just like hugs.
I like hugs too.
It's not as much as me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll be hugging Abby for 20 seconds because apparently that's scientifically proven that makes you feel better or something. And she pushes me off of her and says, ew.
No, I don't. I only did that once. As a joke.
Yeah. That was just being a jokester.
Yeah. He was just being a little jokester. But anyways, this week at the beach, I want to talk a little bit about what I experienced. Not to make this about me. However, this podcast is about us. But something I experienced this week at the beach was realizing I am incredibly strung out. And I did it to myself. I'm so used to just my way of living being going through each day, and if I don't exhaust myself by the end of the day, I feel like I haven't, like, lived that day. Like, I feel like I don't deserve to rest unless I'm completely exhausted to the point of, like, falling asleep. And it got to the point at the beach where I was like, when I'm on vacation, I really realize it because I'm out of my routine, so I'm not as, like, go work focused. And I really realized when I was at the beach, like, I wasn't able to invest in conversation with people. I wasn't able to I really was just existing next to Ryan.
You were very short.
I was very short, very irritable.
I wouldn't say it was really towards me as much.
I felt like compared to our dynamic previously, where we would, like, joke back and forth, like, literally cuddle.
You were very...
I was just existing. Like, yeah. I was just there.
You just weren't. You just didn't seem as happy.
I just went through the motions. I wasn't happy. I was just going through the day trying to expend as much of myself as I could so that I felt, like, enough to be able to relax on vacation. Like, it was like, oh, you aren't allowed to lay by the pool until you've burned yourself out. And that's just not healthy at all. And I don't really know how that, like, started. Like, I don't really know where that started or where that stems from. I think that's just the, like, overachiever turned hustle culture, like, toxicity in me.
I feel like you've been doing that for a little bit of time, but though.
It started in Costa Rica. Like, that's when it started for me. And I didn't really realize it until I was at the beach and I was like, oh my gosh, things that I enjoy, I'm not even enjoying anymore. Like, the days I just wasn't enjoying, there was nothing that I was enjoying in the day because I was so exhausted. I was just so exhausted. And I was like, oh, I'll just go to bed early and start over tomorrow. And then it was like waking up. And then I was like, I don't want to go on a run. And when I love my runs. I absolutely love an early morning with a sunrise and going on a run. And I was not excited about it. I didn't want to do it. Like, just very out of character stuff for me. Like, wasn't really interested in, like, making conversation at the dinner table. Didn't really want to do, like, many activities past, like, 5 o'clock. Like, I love going and looking around the town and doing
fun
things. But
the weird part is that you were running a lot.
Yeah, and I was running a lot. And I kind of just got into this, I guess, like...
Cycle
of just, like, well, this is what I do. Like, this is what I do. And so I finally, like, came to a moment of realization and it was like, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to schedule life around my workouts, my work, my things that quote unquote push me forward, make me stronger, make me better. Like if I wasn't working out and I wasn't exhausting myself physically, I was working out mentally and like doing work, constantly editing. Like even when we were around the couch laying down, it was like, oh, well, you can't sit and talk to people because you have to edit. You have to do work. You have to answer emails. You have to check your stats, check your analytics. Like it was just, I could never just live life ever on that trip. It felt like for the first couple of days. And so I like woke up on, and I just was like, what am I doing? So I took 4 days off, like did nothing and just, I didn't set a time for myself to like take off of like everything, like no work, no exercise, no plans, like nothing. I just kind of like started with one day and then kept going until I felt like I was ready to kind of jump back into life a little bit.
I think it was 3 days off.
Well, 4 days total for the week because it's Wednesday, I didn't do anything. But because I was starting to feel tired and then I was like, I'll just jump back in Thursday. And then Thursday just completely wore me out. And then I was like, I need to like stop. But, yeah, by the end of like 36 hours of like resting and doing nothing, Ryan and I both were like, Abby's back. Like it was the happiest I was. The end of that trip was like the happiest that I was and the most myself I was and like the most personality that I had. And I don't even know how I got there, but I think it was very telling that like I realized it because my family was realizing it. Like even my grandma was like, is Abby okay? Are you okay? And I didn't even realize that I wasn't until I was like, whoa. And then I was like, I'm just exhausted in every way, shape, and form. So that's something I'm really focusing on right now. It's just like, just because it may seem like in the world standards, like this is what's best for you. Like hustle culture, work, go, like train hard, work hard, rest hard, like blah, blah, blah. My focus right now is rest.
I want to jump in.
Okay.
You say that a lot.
Say what?
In the world, hustle culture, work culture is what's supposed to be good. I would challenge you to what are you feeding your mind? Because you say that a lot, and I don't think that is backed up by what Jesus says, and I don't think that's backed up by what a Sunday sermon would say, and I don't think that would be backed up with what really, you know, Christian podcasts would say, and I don't think that would be backed up with, you know, God's word. So I would challenge you to be like, well, what are you feeding yourself?
Yeah.
Because what you are feeding your mind is what's going to be growing in your heart.
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. Like I'm prioritizing what the world says more than I am what the Lord says.
Well, yeah. Or you're just listening to all the wrong things right now. Because you do say that a lot. Like, the world says hustle culture and all this. It's like, well, if you're listening to that and doing that, then you must be getting that from somewhere. So like, what are you, like, where are you getting that? And what is that source from?
You're really smart. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was smiling when I said, yeah, for those that aren't watching. I think that's
really good though. And I think there definitely is an imbalance in me in that way. Because it's just so easy to fall into that trap of, you know, we're in the world, so living in the world. Because it's all we see. But that's what faith is belief in the unseen. But I know that the Lord has great plans for me, for you, for believers, for his children. And it's just time for me to refocus my mind on that truth.
Well, yeah, because you were saying, a lot of times you were saying, like, I think we were walking to the pool that one day and you were talking about how, like, yeah, I just feel like if I'm not doing the things that are bettering myself, then I can't rest or whatever. And I stopped you and asked, like, that isn't bettering you right now.
Yeah.
By running a certain amount of miles, that's not bettering you right now. What will actually better you physically and obviously your mind too is taking days rest. Off to allow your body to rest.
Yeah.
That is what will actually better you. In even the running, that will better you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't even really talking about that, but that would physically better you as well and make you a better runner and just make you feel better as a person.
Yeah. That's so good. I think so often it's like easy for me to put myself in these like molds of like, oh, well, you know, people know me as the theater girl, or people mm-hmm. know me as the Christian, or people know me as the runner, or the kids worship pastor, or the this or the that, all these titles that I identify with that rather than I am a child of God.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's what can happen is that these titles that you put on yourself can actually seem pretty good. Like the devil wants those titles to not seem horrible because you're already a child of God. So you already have your eternity set in stone. So the devil is going to try and deceive you and break up that relationship by things that seem good. So you being a runner, that's awesome. Like, you know, physical training is of some benefit, right? That's what God says.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start identifying, oh, I am a runner and that's what I'm all about. Okay. That's great, but that's not who you are ultimately.
Mm.
That's not who your true identity is. And same thing for like sports. Like I was a baseball player in college. Like, great. That's an awesome thing. And that's really cool. And it's good to work really hard at it and put your all into it. But whenever that becomes your full identity and you something bad happens on the mound or something bad happens at the plate and you start putting bad games together, then if putting your whole identity into being a baseball player, then that's going to be so rocky and your whole entire attitude, your whole entire mental health, your whole entire emotional health is going to be tied to whether or not you played good or you ran good or bad. When in reality, if you can, you know, set that aside and say, you know, that's a really good thing and I am a baseball player, but my true identity is in God, or that's a great thing and I'm a runner, but my true identity is in God, then the, you know, bad doesn't necessarily, you know, tear you down. And it's not like easy to just, you know, say that and that changes, but I think that is also just important for something to realize.
Well, I think you've also had a lot of experience with that throughout your many, many years of baseball as well.
Yeah.
Especially like through FCA and, you know, things that kind of highlight like athletics and being a Christian.
Yeah.
But I mean, before you knew Jesus, like you hearing the stories of like how you would literally like punch a wall mess up, or I don't even know what you would do. I don't know what the words are. You would get an out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I would get an out. No, I would have really bad pitching outings, and my whole mood was based off of whether or not I pitched good or not.
And I think there is some like humanness to like, yeah, obviously you're not going to be like,
yeah, your competitive
okay.
nature. And, yeah.
Lovely that I just played my worst game ever in my entire life. God is good. Like, mm-hmm. yes, God is still good, but you can be like, you can be upset about it. Like,
right.
There is beauty in having a, like, an expectation for performing well.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of beauty in having passion and caring about that.
And holding yourself to a high standard. But yeah, when that consumes you, when that's all consuming and you identify with that and you place your worth in that, that's when the devil has a hold on you. And it's like, you're a little toy in his vending machine and he just is the claw that's like got a hold of you there.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing. And that's when it's really like, it's really important to realize that your eternity has already been marked by the blood of Jesus. So there's nothing that you can do that prevents you from getting into heaven. And there's nothing that you can't do that prevents you to get into heaven. So the devil is only going to try and destroy that relationship with God and try and basically just make your life on Earth as bad as possible, because you're spending eternity with God forever, and He can't take that from you. So you have to realize that His best tactic is to deceive you into thinking some of these really good things, He makes them ultimate things and puts barriers up of your relationship with the Almighty.
I think it's important to touch on, that's so good.
Our conversations on this podcast are wild.
I know. I think it's important to touch on as well that
they're just so different every week.
I know. But I think it's important to touch on as well, like, for the tactical side of things as well, like when you are, you know, feeling held captive or feeling like, oh my gosh, like I've got my priorities all wrong. Like for me, what I had to do, and the first day is always the hardest. And towards the last couple of days, I was just like, I'm just going to take another day to rest because I just really need it. But the first like 2 days, it was kind of a struggle because I was just like, I have the time to be able to go do something or to go work out or to like whip out the computer or to, you know, go on a walk or just exhaust myself again. And like those urges are there because it's like, oh, well, you have the time to do it. Like, why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
And so I had to literally be like, Mom, can we go somewhere? Like in the, if you go watch the vlog, like there's a moment where we went to the zoo. Like the reason I went to the zoo is because I went up to my mom and I was like, Mom, I know I don't need to work out right now, but I'm feeling so guilty for not doing it because like my head is telling me like, well, you have the time to do it. Like, why aren't you doing it? You're just being lazy. Like, you're just being lazy. And I know exactly where those lies are coming from, but it's kind of like you have to just fully remove yourself when those times come, fully remove yourself from like that temptation of it and just get yourself out of it. Like, I just needed to distract myself. And I think that's not like the blanket rule for like how to fully, I guess like recover, or like for lack of a better word, like I wouldn't say that's like the blanket statement of like how to overcome struggle because you've got to be able to like be where your feet are. But I would compare it to like, you know, we've talked about porn on this podcast and like how people have phones and it's like, oh, I'm struggling with porn. And someone will be like, well, how do you watch porn? On my phone? Get rid of your phone. Like, just get rid of the temptation of it. Yeah. Like, for me, I just had to fully be like, I can't be here right now because there's a gym downstairs and I'm feeling so guilty for not working out right now, but I know that's not what's best for me. Can we go to the zoo? Because there ain't no gym at the zoo. And I'm creating memories, spending time with people, getting out of that environment, and just taking myself out of that place where those temptations are. And so, that was something that was helpful. And then by like day two, by day two and three and four and whatever, it was just like, oh, I'm waking up and I'm just going to chill at home today. And it was fine. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that helps. Did that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Yeah, I think it's important. It's like somebody asked on the question on the Q&A whenever we were driving home, was that Saturday? Yeah. Saturday. About like how to grow your faith. And I just related it to like going to the gym. So like you would never just go to the gym and that's it. So if you were truly trying to like transform your body, you were trying to really like immerse yourself into like a fitness journey, well, you would start taking a look at what you were eating. And you wouldn't just stop eating bad foods and not eat at all. You would eliminate those bad foods and add vegetables in like high protein diet, or like you would add, like you would eliminate soda and add water, or you would eliminate ice cream and maybe add fruit, right? So like eliminating that is really good, but you also have to add something and fill it, which in our case is you fill it with somebody that knows Jesus and can hold you accountable. You fill it with the living, breathing word of God. You fill it with prayer. You fill it with community and going to church or going to a small group, or you fill it with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I would even like go as far as to say like fad diets or extreme, like I'm going to go on the Stairmaster for 2 hours and you've never done yeah. cardio before in your life, like, those things aren't going to last. Like, a lasting, healthy, beneficial fitness lifestyle is small habits over time that develop into a routine. As to where I would say it was the same thing with your walk with Jesus. It's like, if I'm going to do like 1 week Bible challenge, then it's like, okay, well, is that like really sustainable for your entire life? Like, reading 2 hours of the Bible every day is great, but like, are you going to be able to do that 7 days a week for a whole year? Like, maybe not, but you know, small habits of like, first thing every morning, I'm going to get up and read the Bible. That's a small habit that you can implement to where, like, if it lasts an hour for a day, great. If it lasts 5 minutes, you got in at least something. And that is something that has really helped me as well. It's like, you don't have to, you don't have to be what you think perfection is, because the Lord doesn't require that of you. So, like, why would you even try?
Yeah, that's so good.
And I think as well, like, even with spreading the gospel, you know, there are a lot of people who are like, well, I don't know enough. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, once I reach this much amount of knowledge, then I'll go tell people about Jesus. I've had lots of friends who are like, well, like, I just don't know as much as you and blah, blah. And I'm literally like, thank goodness you don't know as much as me. Like, I don't know nearly anything. Like, that's how I feel, you know, and we're sitting here on a Christian podcast talking about the Lord all the time. And I sit here and I'm like, I am not qualified to do this. Like, I don't know anything, like, but I do know that my God is good and my God is my foundation. And so if my eyes are fixed on Him, whether I'm eloquently wording things or not, or, you know, 100% correct on all of my like biblical facts or not, like, what, but I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about my experiences. I'm telling people about the Lord, and that's our mission here on earth. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. And so there's not like a benchmark to meet of being a Christian or having a faith or being able to share with the Lord. It's just starting. Like, you just have to start, which is the same with fitness. Like, that's what people say, is like, you just have to start.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. There's a saying, it's like, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, like, I didn't start my ultra marathon training by running 48 miles.
Yeah.
Like, to try and get to however many miles I want to get to. I started by running 6 miles today. And that may seem like a lot to me, but in reality, that's like 10% of what I plan on running whenever I'm doing the race. So I would just, you know, don't put so much pressure on yourself to achieve a certain thing. I would just, man, like, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Like, I think it's Romans 8:1 or maybe Romans 12 or something. But like, God is so merciful and so great. Jesus has so much grace for you. Like, I would just like challenge you to rest in the fact that the most forgiving person you know isn't even a percent of how forgiving God is to you. And the crazy part about that is He is perfect. Like, He came, He sent His Son down on this earth to live perfectly so you didn't have to. Like, what is the requirement to get into heaven is perfection. And like, we don't have to live perfect anymore because somebody did.
We have.
And we also don't have to pay for our sins anymore. The sin that you commit every single day, we all sin every single day, that's been paid for whenever you accepted Jesus into your heart and
which
accepted
means you're
Him.
Accepting perfection, which exactly. means you will go to heaven. Yeah, I mean, that's so good. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no,
I just
that's,
wanted to
that's
copy.
That's pretty much all I was going
to
say. Like the Bible, there's a pastor that says this all the time. I think, I don't even know who it is. I can't even think of his name, but there's a sermon and he says like he says something like Jesus doesn't require, no, it's like your salvation doesn't require obedience, but it produces it. So he's not saying like you are required to do this mm-hmm, and that, mm-hmm. but whenever you accept Jesus into your heart, it will produce that.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. You're just so smart. I always find it really interesting that, like, whenever we talk about the Lord or Jesus, like, you get, you just go, you just, it's the fastest I've ever heard you speak. And you're like, you're usually pretty, pretty chill and mellow. And then when you start talking about Jesus, you're like, which I think
I get so excited.
Well, it's a gift. I mean, it's such a gift. Like, you are so wise. Seriously. Like, you are very, very wise. And that is a wonderful gift. Like, so many people have told me, like, oh my gosh, I listened to the podcast and, like, Ryan is just so good. I'm like, I know. Like, so imagine dating him. But yeah, I mean, comparing what you said to kind of like more so where, you know, I compare myself a lot. I compare myself just, I don't even know, for many reasons.
We're in a comparison world right now. Mm-hmm. Social media has created that.
Which I compare myself a lot to, like, a lot of other women who are more well known that also, like, have a Christian podcast and mm-hmm. put content out, and I'm like, oh, they sound so, or they know so much, and blah blah blah, or they're so eloquent with their words, they sound so put together, like, oh, I need to be a... And it's just, I was literally on a run, and I just, the Lord was like, if I wanted you to be like them, I would have made you like them.
Mm.
Like, the reason you're you is because you do you well,
because
mm-hmm. I made you you, so be you. And that was so freeing, because I was really just struggling with the podcast. Like, I even compare myself to you a lot, and I'm like, he just can speak scripture and truth so well. And I feel like a lot of times I just kind of, like, speak about personal experiences and my struggles, and it's like, oh, well, I wish, like, I knew, like, I wish I could speak and give advice just, like, amazing like he could. But that's something I shouldn't, like, tear myself down for, but rather, like, you know, be inspired by you in that way, and, like, wow, like, in awe and encouraging you in that way. But also, like, look at myself and be like, but why is sharing my personal experiences and struggles a bad thing? Like, right. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And it's a strength that I have. And, you know, that's why we're here doing this together, because your strengths and my strengths are different. And if I was good at what you're good at, like, if we were the same, it just wouldn't work. Like, right. We're just not supposed to be like that. Like, we've got to rip up comparison and just throw it in the trash. And when that is eliminated, then we can put in all the other stuff that we're talking about in this podcast, like rest and scripture and mm-hmm. things that, you know, I do fall victim of probably taking in more of this world content than I should. Like, I love watching running content. I love watching, like, Nick Bear and Lucy Halden and all these, like, really big fitness people that I'm like, oh my gosh, they're training and they're working hard and they're going and blah, 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 which is great. What I'm about to say, I'm not hating on them at all. Like, that is their niche. That's their brand. That's what they do. It's amazing. But I fall victim to being like...
And we'd also love to work with you guys.
And we'd also love to get to... No, you guys. But I fall victim to playing the comparison game in that way and being like, well, I need to do this and I need to train hard and I need to blah, blah, and I need blah, blah. And it's like, there, it comes a certain point where, and I just said, scratch me even using that as a reference. We're moving past that now. But, like, I set the standard of myself of, like, okay, then I've got to train every day, go hard, go blah, 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 because, like, that's the standard of this earthly content that I'm taking in. And it's like, but if I'm meeting the standard of the world, is that really how to walk in the light of the Lord? Like, if I'm doing what the world is telling me, am I really doing this?
That's so right? good.
And it's like, rest may feel lazy in earthly standards, but, like, rest is God honoring. Like, me feeling guilty for not working out, like, yeah, obviously I'm going to feel guilty because I'm taking in this standard and this benchmark that's set from the world standards.
Just like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like full circle.
Yeah.
It's just, like, all hitting me again, but, like, yeah, it really is, you know, the guilt will get smaller and smaller and smaller the more that I take in truth.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Like, ask yourself a simple question, like, who am I following? Like, am I following, and I think I've said this before, like, am I following someone on Instagram and looking into what their day-to-day looks like, more than I'm following the Bible and what Jesus says how to live my life. So like if I'm consumed more, like if my screen time, which mine will look like this, I'm calling myself out. So my screen time looks longer on Instagram and on Twitter and on Safari than my Bible time and my prayer time, then who am I really following? Because I'm not following Jesus. I'm actually following this influencer that is actually not leading me closer to Jesus.
Right. And I will also say, like, there is nothing wrong. I love Instagram. I get really inspired. I feel very creative.
Yeah, I love it too.
But I think something I also saw was, like, it's very easy to follow, and I'm even saying this for, like, myself, like, I catch myself doing this all the time, but, like, following the Christian couple, following the Christian influencer, following the Christian people rather than following God.
Like, following That's Life Potty.
And, now, except for us, this does not apply to us. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Jokes. But that is something to be mindful of, especially for myself. I catch myself doing that all the time. Like, I love Sadie Robertson. Literally love her. But sometimes I catch myself, like, paying attention more to what she says than what God says.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, that's a wake-up call for hopefully a lot of people, but definitely for myself. It's like, girl, just because it's, you know, a Christian content is amazing and super inspiring, but that should not be my
ultimate source.
Source of, like, really a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, and I, like, your revelation shouldn't come from a podcast or a Sunday sermon.
Yeah, those are we've talked about that.
Yeah, those are amazing things. But if you want firsthand revelation and a, like, a true, real, authentic relationship with God, it's like, it's not Instagram reel. It's not like a 5-second TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes time and like really, really like digging into scripture and like just waiting. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna wait on you, Lord.
Which can sound really contradicting because we literally post content that like talks about Jesus and, you know, does all that. But that is not the supplement. Like, that is not the substitute for a firsthand intimate relationship with the Lord.
Yeah,
that is the bonuses and the icing on the cake.
Yeah,
that is us being like, we are passionate about making content and sharing things and having a podcast and speaking to people, and we can't help but talk about the Lord with those passions. And yeah, so,
I think that's so good. Like, we're not saying those are bad things. We're not saying they're anything other than just, you know, something that we love to do.
And they're like, God-honoring and can push you further in your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, and like, we'd be lying if we're like, no, like, we want people, like, we want as many people to go see that and like, know Jesus through that. But like, what we're saying
it
is
just
that
can't replace.
That is not your replacement for yeah.
That's reading so the good. Word, prayer, church, worship.
That's so the good. Things. I got a headache.
The whole nine yards. I think that means that we should wrap it up. We are at an hour. Any parting words? We haven't done a high-low in a while. You want to do a high-low?
Yeah, we can do a high-low.
A week? Okay.
For the week?
Yeah. Do you want me to go first so you can think?
Yeah.
Okay. So my low for the week was just feeling really low, hitting some really low lows that I talked about, like, at the beach and just being exhausted. But my high was then giving myself rest and having like a realization through that. So that is just yet again another way the Lord can turn bad into good and use it. And so it's kind of a double whammy for me. Stop eating your fingers.
My low is probably probably just driving home from the beach.
Yeah,
it was sad.
Sad.
But my high was there were so many fun things. But probably waking up on July 4th.
Yeah, not and it was my work.
Yeah, not having work, knowing I had like a full basically weekend of just vacation time. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Spending that with you was cool. Played golf on Friday too, which was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
I have the golf bug like no one's ever seen. So.
I would just like to say that Ryan has been growling a lot lately. I don't really know where that's coming from. You've been doing that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I do it when I have to pee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, listen, guys. Thanks for listening. We love Jesus, and he loves you. Did you know that? Do you think they know that?
Yeah, they know that. No, they don't. You guys should like and subscribe.
Ryan what? Always I'm, be plugging us.
I'm just letting them know that there's not a sure. capability of leaving a 5-star on Spotify, and you can follow the Spotify, then you can follow us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Just telling them that follow they're allowed
Strava.
To do that.
Jesus yeah. Runners on Strava, first run club this Saturday. All deets on the Instagram and on Strava. Boop, boop, boop.
Boop, boop.
Listen, guys, we love you.
We love you.
Jesus loves you. And that's life. Go pee.